I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We're leading things off a little differently for today's show. Instead of my usual pattern of just forgetting to mention our guest, this episode is brought to you by our friends at Polar Ice, the official Canadian vodka of the Toronto Blue Jays. To celebrate this unique partnership and the fact the Blue Jays have finally returned home to Toronto, they've created a limited edition bottle and a signature cocktail, the Polar Leadoff. Tested and confirmed, this is the perfect way to start your game day experience. The cocktail features a shot of Polar Ice, a dash of blue curacao, sparkling lemonade, and is topped with popcorn.
Yeah, and you know, anyone who's listened to me on podcasts over the years knows that I stopped pretending to like the taste of beer a long, long time ago. So this drink is definitely right in my wheelhouse. You know, the blue color looks great for supporting the Jays, and the popcorn topper makes me feel like I'm at the game no matter where I'm watching.
Not only is the Polar Leadoff a more adventurous option than that first inning beer, it's also as crushable as a Tanner Roark Keter. You can give it a try yourself. Pick up the limited edition Polar Ice bottle at your nearest liquor store while supplies last, and be sure to enjoy it responsibly. So, Stoughton, how about the Blue Jays?
Yeah, they're really good, it turns out. This is obviously, I mean, I don't think I have to tell anybody who's listening. Like, this has obviously been an incredible week. I don't know if we need to debate the existence of playoff odds or stuff, but you know, looking at the graph of where the Yankees' chances have gone and where the Blue Jays have gone over the last, you know, 7 days, especially over the last four, with the sweep in the Bronx, it's pretty remarkable, pretty cool, pretty unusual too. And you know, it's just last week we were a little bit full of doom and gloom, and it certainly the mood has changed incredibly in just 7 days. And you know, we've been saying all year though, right? Like, this is a really talented roster, and they had just never sort of had all three components, the lineup, the bullpen, and the starters, you know, working at the same time. And they're showing, you know, what they can do when you know, everybody's sort of firing on all cylinders. I mean, obviously there's like breaks and there's a bit of luck in there too, but man, I mean, it would have been fun to watch this all year, or maybe to not like have saved it to the last moment. But they're making this month real, real fun. And, you know, now we can say without, you know, having to sort of laugh it off, like maybe next month too, like it's the real deal. It could still go sideways, but it's good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a pretty good summary. Now, sometimes when you get this kind of wave of momentum, there's a tendency to assume that it's just going to keep going that way. That's kind of what we felt when they came back to Toronto and they had that 9-2 homestand. We saw what happened after that. So I think that, you know, just because they went from 5-50 doesn't mean they're going to go to 100 and that's the next, you know, it could not be a linear journey. They could also have a dip and then come back too. A lot of things can happen from here. I don't think it's necessarily going to be an easy wave, although the schedule is definitely going to help with that. It is nice to maybe throw out the playoff odds a little bit though, because before it was kind of a good way to conceptualize, like, how much of a long shot are the Blue Jays considering their X back and their teams in between. Okay, let's get an idea. Like, how crazy would it have to be for them to make the playoffs? But now they're a half game behind and they're a game behind the two guys. So you could just watch the standings at this point. Like, you don't need right. You don't need the projections. You don't need any of that. Like, now it's going to be really nice, easy scoreboard watching, which You know, it's a luxury, right? A lot of fan bases don't get to experience that every year. In fact, the majority of them probably don't get to experience it in a serious way. And that's where we are now. We're not talking about vague hypotheticals. We're not talking about what would need to happen if we are in the thick of this race and it's neck and neck and neck with Boston, New York, and the Blue Jays. And you can make a very convincing argument that the Blue Jays are the best of those teams right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you're right. I don't want to temper the mood too much because it's, you know, it's just been so rare around here in particular. And it's been, you know, the whole season has been building to this point. We did have that August trip when it felt like, you know, everything was sort of possible. But it was nothing quite like this. There was still a lot of ground to make up. And then now the ground has been made up, even despite like going in a giant trough. It's just this is the fun of the sport of baseball. This is why it drives me nuts when people, even, you know, in late August are like, oh, it's over, and just rushing to insist that the season is done and pointless and there's no need to watch, which, you know, my response to that is, you know, well, then don't watch. But the playoff odds, I know we can put them to bed, as you say. I think you're absolutely correct there. But also, you know, they got down to what, like 8% or you know, something around 10%, depending on which one you would look at. And then I don't know if that is what trips people up, but to conceptualize it is sort of like, okay, well, if you ran the season from here to the end 10 times, the Jays would still make the playoffs once. And it's like, okay, you know, that's worth sticking around for, even when you're at, you know, the lowest ebb of your playoff odds in late August. And they have showed us exactly why. And, you know, you just, it's not just, you know, we're not just talking about good, you know, good breaks. And you know, we're talking about a team that has a ton of talent on it and is really, you know, they've tightened up the defense, which has been really nice to see. They're, you know, with the expanded rosters, I think they've been using the roster really well. It's funny that, you know, I don't think we hear as much grumbling about how much Charlie Montoyo is losing them games now that the players are playing better, which is, you know, perhaps something people should think about. And I'm sure we'll not by the time next season starts. But yeah, you know, I mean, Barrios was great. Robbie Ray is great. Ryu pitched really well, even though I think his ERA for the season is below Steven Matz, but Steven Matz pitched really well. Manoah is Manoah. And you know, they're hitting again, you know, and that's obviously been the huge thing, because that was holding them back, for so long during that little slump in August. And obviously we're seeing Vladdy come around again. Semien's been a rock. Bo Bichette, is not, you know, not having the year that, you know, we would expect from him, I don't think, but, has definitely turned it around a bit, and especially in the last, you know, couple games. And you get George Springer back, and I, you know, if I'm the Yankees and I'm the Red Sox, I do not feel good about this Toronto Blue Jays team that's coming up behind me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, like you said, the lineup is where the fulcrum of it kind of switched, right? Like they were getting the starting pitching for quite a long time, and they just simply couldn't put runs on the board. And when you're, it's literally, not talking about hitting is my least favorite thing to talk about in baseball, because there's nothing to say. It's the absence of things that are going on, especially when you're talking about good hitters. So when someone comes to you, and like, I've had these discussions with people like, oh, the runner's in scoring position. We touched on the podcast a little bit. The answer is always, these guys are good hitters and they're going to hit. And like, it sounds like this shitty answer that is, you know, there's no analysis behind it, yada, yada, yada. But no, like, we know how talented these guys are. We know what they're capable of doing. We know that Vladdy wasn't going to be that league average hitter he was during his little slump for a bit. Like, he's so far beyond that. He's shown us he can be this world-class hitter who's the biggest offensive force in the league, and he did that for 3 months. He wasn't going to suddenly become a dud for the next 3 months. Like, it's very, very unlikely that was going to happen. Now he's back. Semien is doing his thing. Gurriel Jr. is a guy we'll talk about, and he's really brought things around. Like,
I was trading him last week, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, there's a bit of a mea culpa for last week, because to be fair, I think I was the one who was positioning the idea that next time we talked, you know, September, meaningful September baseball might be out the window. And yeah, I mean, there's
definitely... Well, if the Jays had played like the Yankees this week, then maybe it would be.
But, yeah, it was a possibility, and I don't know if I would have said I thought it was the most likely scenario, but yeah, it was definitely on the table in my view. And now it's a totally different situation. It's because those three facets of the team, as you mentioned, like the lineup is going, the pitching is insane. Like Matz and Ray, since the beginning of August have given them, I think it's 86 innings of like 1.56 ERA ball. Like, that's insane. That's Jake. They've been Jacob DeGrom combined for a couple months. Like, Ryu was really good in his last start. He found the velocity, you know, his forearm. We'll see what goes on there. Barrios, like you said, like he seemed to find that mechanical adjustment. He's been lights out since then. When Alec Manoah is the guy who looks like the weak point in your rotation right now, and Ross Stripling is coming back, who is excellent for the vast majority of the year, and he doesn't have a rotation spot, like that's a pretty good group. And you don't get a group like that very often that is, yeah, now legitimately six deep when Stripling comes back, presuming Ryo's okay. And the combination of the lineup and that rotation was always going to be a winning combination. And unfortunately, that got them a huge run differential, and it didn't quite work out on the scoreboard at the end of the day. But you had to believe this team had this in it if the bullpen was stabilized at all, and that's been a difference maker.
And it seems like it's been stabilized. I mean, it's still, you know, it's still not the White Sox, but it is obviously, they pitched really well. I mean, it's still nervy, obviously, but that's sort of just what we're doing here, I guess. You know, it's every pitch you have to kind of hang off it. Like, there is no automatic lockdown even when your best pitchers are out there, but yeah, it's been huge. I read Michael Bauman in the Ringer wrote about the Jays today, and I think it was in that piece where he said no team with this run differential has missed the playoffs since 2005, which that makes sense because it's a really good team, and it's nice to see the rewards of you know, the grind that this whole season was sort of coming to them now. But though, like you say, yeah, it can all absolutely go sideways. You know, you're in a 3-way race, maybe a 5-way race with only two spots. So still have to play real well over the next, you know, 3 weeks or whatever is left in the season. So that's big. They have a huge chance with the Twins and the Orioles on the schedule a lot. You know, the Rays are obviously going to be difficult, but they also maybe, you know, resting guys a little bit and taking the foot off the gas because they've just gone so far ahead of everybody in the AL East and are going to be laying in wait for whoever whoever comes out of the wild card game, which, you know, we can have that worry about it.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, yeah. Type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not worried about that yet.
Yeah. But no, it's been real fun to watch. And I say, you know, the bullpen's been there, but they've given them some great innings as well, particularly in this Yankees series. But for a while, I think now, even though, you know, anytime a bullpen gives up like a single run, it tends to be a problem, and you know, and that happens. But you just have to feel good about where they are, and especially, I mean, have we even seen Julian Merriweather yet? Nate Pearson still a bit shaky, but hopefully that there's a chance, maybe against a team like, say, the Baltimore Orioles, who could be getting thumped a little bit over the weekend. One hopes. Don't want to count those chickens before they hatch, but opportunities right there, and it would be nice to see guys like that get some reps against, you know, theoretical big league hitters. You know, the Orioles do have some guys who hit quite well, maybe get themselves into a spot where they're a little more consistent with their command and a little more ready to pitch in, you know, bigger situations. Because obviously we saw Pearson on a Thursday night. You know, it happens, but not really endearing himself to people who are ready to be like, all right, he could just come in and be a high leverage for guy for us right away.
Yeah, one of the things I also think is a bit underrated about how this race is playing out, and this is something I don't think people talk about because it's not exciting to talk about, but it's health. Like, the Red Sox have a massive COVID outbreak. Yeah. Like, that's, you know, that's beyond injury. That's like literal health. And the Yankees are missing three of their main starters, and Severino, Taillon just hit the IL. Herman also, and a bunch of their top tier relievers are also gone. Like, that bullpen is not what it normally is. And you think about, like, okay, who's missing from the Jays? You know, Kevin Biggio, pretty polarizing figure, probably not a huge difference maker. Espinal, yeah, I mean, would I rather have Espinal at third base than Kevin Smith? I need to see Kevin Smith at third base at all anymore? Like, I'm not 100% sure I do. I think Espinal would probably be an upgrade there. You know, like we talked about, Ross Stripling is coming back, but he will be back soon. Like, other than kind of, you know, Kirby Yates, who would have been a big contributor, there's not a lot of guys who are sitting on the shelf for the Blue Jays. They kind of have, this is the unit that they want. You know, Ryu, I guess, depending on what happens with his arm, maybe that changes things. Springer is in this very tenuous position. It was tough to watch him before he went out with that injury. Like, there was, you know, those swings were clearly putting him in pain. Even when he connected, like, he just didn't have the leg drive behind it. Like, it was very obvious that he was hurt. That's obviously, that's a bit of a question mark, but they've dealt with not having Springer for much of the year. That makes a big difference down the stretch. He's lost 23 games. Like I said before, I think the Blue Jays are a better team, and you can say that because of the run differential, and you can go down the roster and talk about the talent, but it's also just the fact that they're more whole. Like, this is, the group is coming together, yeah, very literally at the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. It is true. And it's just so strange to hear it, because that was the thing all year, right? It's like, oh, the bullpen injuries were killing them for so long, and, you know, not having Springer, and yeah, you're absolutely right. This is basically the group that they want to have. I mean, they would have wanted maybe to have, say, Brad Hand instead of having to release him because he was terrible. But but you know, you feel real good about the options. And like I said, you know, I mentioned Pearson and Merriweather, like Soria, the bullpen. We're not seeing, you know, Kirby Snead and Connor Overton and Taylor Saucedo, unless they're warming up in case the game gets, you know, completely out of hand. And those are guys who at times, various, you know, we've followed all year. Like, there have been some AAA quality guys coming in and having to get the Jays big outs. And that really did hold them back, I think, for a long time. And part of that was the injuries. And now that they don't have those at the moment, it does feel real good. And it's just fun. It's just, the Dome is going to be rocking when they come back and face the Rays next week. They still don't have full capacity yet, though they're maybe proceeding towards that. That would be very interesting. I think, you know, everybody's going to have to get, have double vax or a negative test coming up, which has not been the case to this point, you know, to get into the stadium. I forget which date that is. I think it's maybe the 22nd, but that, I believe, the Jays did in anticipation of trying to go to full capacity at some point. And now there's literally, theoretically, I mean, there's literally October baseball because the season ends on the 3rd, but there's a chance that they could be playing longer than even that. And man, to have that opportunity with the Rogers Center completely sold out, as opposed to, you know, the limitations that they have right now, would be pretty special, pretty spectacular. And you know, you also just wonder about, speaking of that, the building, like, you know, they spent so long in Dunedin and in Buffalo, and that, you know, in a game like this, where little things can add up and maybe don't necessarily mean the difference between like a win and loss in a particular game, you know, that obviously would wear on any team. And the fact that they have been able to overcome that and get back into the race now, it's pretty special.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens with the capacity. There's obviously going to be a ton of interest down the stretch. Like, you know, I spent last night watching the football game with a bunch of friends, and they're very much, you know, very casual Blue Jays fans. But, you know, they want to put the end of the Blue Jays game on and the beginning of the Blue Jays game on and talk Blue Jays. And these are people that, you know, I very rarely touch on the Blue Jays with. And I think that they're starting to awaken that, you know, that bigger casual part of the fan base now. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. When you say, hey, the Blue Jays are really good, they're fun to watch, and then someone says, okay, like, how are they doing? And you say, oh, they're 6 games above 500, and they're 6.5 games out of a wild card, but, you know, they're good. They can make a run. That's maybe not too persuasive to the average casual fan. And I know how fun these guys are to watch. And like, even people are like, yeah, I love Vladdy, blah, blah, blah. But when you tell someone, yeah, the Blue Jays are a half game out of the playoffs and they've won 8 games in a row, suddenly you're looking at a whole different demographic in terms of the interest in the Blue Jays. I think that's going to be really interesting to watch over the next couple of weeks if they continue to play well. Sort of the city waking up to what this team can be, because they're very easy to buy into once you are exposed to them over any amount of time. We've talked about how young they are, how fun they are personality wise, even the pitching, you've got a great combination of different styles and different ages and whatnot. Like, you know, they're everyone who isn't a Red Sox or Yankees fan. Like, it's everyone's second team. Like, that's a joke. And, you know, because they're in Canada, that might not be as true as it should be, but people who are into baseball are going to be into this team. And I think people who haven't been into baseball or the Blue Jays for much of the season are going to start to get into this team now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Mariners fans are necessarily
fond
of the Jays either. But no, you're right. And the awakening of the city, it's weird because, I mean, it's we live in different times than even 2015, right? But that was such an amazing part of that run was, you know, getting into a cab and the cabbie's got the game on, or being in the lineup at Starbucks or wherever the hell you are. And, you know, people are talking about the game last night and we're starting to, you know, it's starting to go that way. You know, I have my local that I go to and hang out with. You know, there's characters there that were somewhere between acquaintances and friends. Like, they know what I do for a living and we'll chat at the bar sometimes. And I assure you that there was not a lot of like voluntary Blue Jays chat going on from some folks at the start of the year. And lately it's especially, you know, the last couple of times I've been out, it's like people want to talk about the Blue Jays and what's going on. And it's, you're starting to feel that. And that's just one of the things that, you know, I remember I've said a long time about 2015 was that it's like it makes you feel that there is like civic value in this weird sports thing that we do that is so like corporately run and obviously self-interested and obviously just a giant entertainment product. But, you know, you feel a little bit better about this being a thing that you do, you know, or that you pay attention to or that you devote this much time and energy to when you see, you know, how it really does like bring people together and bring a city and a country together. And I mean, that, Jesus, I'm sounding like I'm fucking Ross Atkins here, but like it's a real nice place to be. It's much nicer than just being ignored or just, you know, just floundering for decades, which we kind of experienced, and it being a little niche thing, you know, embracing the casual fans who want to get into it is great, and especially when the team is giving them a reason to get into it.
Yeah, any casual fans who have stumbled across this podcast, maybe this is the first time you're listening because you're interested in the Blue Jays now. Thanks for coming aboard.
Oh, I mean, when the Jays were in, like when the former podcast I did, I like the numbers in the playoffs or in October 2016 or whatever were more than double what people were listening to us. You know, at the start of that regular season or at the start of 2015, right? Like it's, and that's cool. Welcome aboard. Like, yeah, get into this team. The personalities on this team are so fun. It's like, you're not, you know, that was fun too. I was doing a radio hit the other day and somebody asked me to compare them. And it's like, well, these guys aren't like,
they aren't dicks.
Happy to be dicks. Like, yeah. And they wore it well. Bautista and Donaldson and that whole crew wore that really well. And were great sort of villains. And the us against the world kind of stuff was great. And they, you know, they sort of brought that upon themselves in a lot of ways. I don't want to say it's easier to say the one of the moment is maybe the better one, the better format for having team likability. But, you know, I don't want to say one is worse or better, but it sure is interesting to watch, you know, these guys who obviously love playing for each other, love playing the game, you know, are just out there having fun and dancing and goofing off and still like, you know, destroying the New York Yankees in their home ballpark. Like that's a lot of fun. And it's, man, it did not, as optimistic as I can be, and I tend to be on the optimistic side, you know, just having been a sort of dispassionate observer of baseball for as long as I have now, you know, because that's just sort of the necessity of writing about and covering a team. I tend to be optimistic, and it, you know, I don't think I felt that it was going to get to a point where, you know, we're just still fawning about for 25 minutes about how great the season has become and what amazing things are going to happen. It just did for a long time. They spun their wheels and it didn't feel like it would happen.
No, absolutely not. And it's interesting to see. Yeah, like people jump aboard. Like I said before, this is a great team to do that with, partly because they're so young. And like, if you get invested in these characters now, you know, if you had started becoming a fan in sort of 2015, you were becoming a fan of an old team that a lot of expiring contracts and wasn't.
You might get mad about what the front office is about.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. New fan, Mark Shapiro. No, but yeah, there's. This is a little bit different. This could, you know, there's no guarantee of them making the playoffs this year. And into the future, we've talked about before how 2021 is an interesting window because they might not have Semien or Ray, and the guys they signed to replace them might not be as good. And like 2022 might not be as good as this. In fact, if I had to guess, I'd guess it wouldn't be as good as this. But that being said, you do have this cast of characters you get to follow over the long term. And that's really interesting if you're jumping aboard right now, because I like the idea that people are getting hooked on the Blue Jays today and they're still going to be with them next year, if maybe even they're struggling. And in 2023, they'll be watching and being like, let's recapture the magic of 2021. And that's something that, you know, it burrows into your brain. It's a very odd thing, the way sports gets you. And once it gets you, it kind of doesn't let go. And it's pretty fun to have this little piece of monoculture, you know, this is a weird comparison, but it brings you back to like Game of Thrones, where like Game of Thrones would happen and then everyone would talk about the episode on Monday. Like even people who don't seem to have any other in common interests would just be like, oh yeah, you see Game of Thrones, because everyone had, maybe not the last season. We don't need to litigate that. But, but in the world where entertainment is so fragmented and there, you know, there's a TV barely exists and there's a million channels on TV and there's a million streaming services and people seem to be finding sort of exactly the niche of what they want, as opposed to everyone really embracing one thing. And I'm not making a value judgment. That's just kind of the way that it's changed. It is kind of refreshing to see something where, oh yeah, everybody is kind of into the same thing for a little bit. And this could last, you know, they could get swept by the Orioles. Incredibly unlikely scenario. But they get swept by the Orioles this weekend. That is all over, probably. But, again, we talked last week about possibilities of what could happen next week. By next week, this train could be way farther down the road and the whole city could be coming alive even more. They could get swept by the Orioles and this moment could be over. But it's a fun moment to be in because we can see the possibility of, yeah, what this run could look like from the top of this little hill we're on.
It could also, I mean, maybe this is the Yankees have been doing this for like 25 years, right? Like, this is sort of the goal, I think. It is an ambitious goal, but I mean, that's sort of what you want to do and what I think that the front office and Shapiro, you know, in particular, you know, sees as the potential of this market, as to have a team that is, you know, that where it isn't just like a novelty and it isn't like, oh man, the Blue Jays, we're all getting into it, where you know, the engagement is just there every year all the time, you know. And you know, I obviously I'm not predicting a Yankee like run from, you know, 1995 through this year, you know, but that's what you sort of aspire to. And it's interesting to think of maybe being at the start of something even a quarter of the size of that, because like you say, yeah, when 2015 and 2016 came along, you know, Bautista and Encarnacion were, you know, in their mid 30s, and Donaldson wasn't young either, and you know, Russell Martin wasn't young, and you know, nobody was young basically. I mean, there was Stroman and Sanchez, and that was about it. And you know, this is exactly as you say, like, this is just another thing. I mean, Vlad, I was writing about this week, you know, what long-term payroll implications there would be if they re-signed Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien. And, you know, it's hilarious to be like, yeah, you know, Vlad and Bo won't hit free agency until after 2025, I think. And I was like, that's a long time. Like, that's a lot of seasons of baseball. And that's, you know, and there's going to be opportunities to make that last longer. And there's going to be guys who come along for the ride. Springer's here for a long time. Teoscar's got a couple more years, but they ought to extend him. And, you know, it's just there is a lot of talent. There's a lot of resources, both in terms financially and prospect wise, for them to do a real great thing here and make this, you know, more than just, you know, a blip once every six Octobers or six Septembers. I mean, I mean, this is we're living up to our name today, finally.
Yeah. I think of the podcast. What, episode 20 here? So yeah,
it took a while.
We appreciate your patience through all the pessimism, but now we finally keyed in on what this show is supposed to be. No, this is not a way to judge the quality of a franchise, nor is it like necessarily the best way to judge fandom. But just an interesting prism that I see it through is that there are a lot of guys on this Blue Jays team who you could buy their jersey and feel comfortable. You know what I mean? Like a few years ago, when think about, I don't know, like the Adam Lind, Aaron Hill days, as an example, kind of some of the wasteland days, like the two, like Marco Scudero is one of the best player type years. There was not a lot of guys for a long time who'd be like, oh yeah, I would buy that jersey and I'd wear that proudly for, you know, like Roy Halladay. And if you go back farther, Delgado and stuff like that, but until Bautista hit, even he was in his 30s and he didn't know what the success was going to be, because he'd done it out of nowhere. Same thing with Eddie. And then, You didn't know how long Donaldson was going to be around, and those guys are older, like you mentioned. Like, now you could put money down on Vladdy, Bo, Springer. If you're a little bit ambitious, Manoa. If you're a hometown, you know, if you really want to emphasize the Canadian aspect, Romano wouldn't be the worst bet in the world. Like, there's a lot of people that you can invest in. And that's really what, you know, what a jersey purchase kind of represents, is investing in that slice of the fandom. And that's encouraging when you have that many players on your team that are players that fans would be willing to kind of invest their literal capital, but also emotional capital in.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we'll see a few less Brett Laurie jerseys around.
Yeah, the Colby Rasmus. Still see a couple of those. Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to see way fewer Jose Reyes jerseys, which is to say zero. But
same with Osuna. You do see that from time to time.
Do you see that?
I've seen a couple of those, and it's like, are you... Like, there's no way you don't know.
I don't think
know.
It's worth wearing that shirt.
Yeah, there's no, Jesus. Like, there's no way you can plead ignorance on that, so...
No. Well, why did they get rid of that guy? Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. What a great way to wrap up like 25 minutes of happy talk off the top. Let's just go right back God. Down to like the depths. We kind of touched on this in this little early rambling section, but a couple of specifics that I thought were interesting are like, what do you think you're going to remember most about this stretch? Like, let's say that they go on to the playoffs, but maybe even if they don't, like, do you think, I think you have to presume they make the playoffs for us to like really look back on this as a stretch that we care about, like years in the future. Is presumably it's the Gurriel Grand Slam, which is kind of funny because they easily could have lost that game, but you know, in a sense, Semien's home run is more important. But it is the Gurriel Grand Slam, I think. Like, what other things are, like, specific moments you think people might be talking about in the future if this happens?
I think it's the Friday game against Oakland. I think it's the one that where they made the impossible comeback and then pissed it away and then made another impossible comeback. I think that was... You know, that was sort of the start. I don't know if they, I can't remember if they'd won games before that or if they, when the 8-game streak started, I guess they'd won the last one against the Tigers before that.
Orioles.
To say. Well, it could have been the Orioles. See,
who can remember?
But I mean, there's just so much. I mean, this is like, you know, speaking of specifics, I'm like, okay, well, you know, we're podcasting today. What are we going to talk about? Like, okay, we can talk about Robbie Ray. He's great. We can talk about Vlad. He's great. Like, there, you just go down the list. Everybody's like killing it right now, which is making it harder. You know, it's not like somebody's carrying them on their back. I mean, Gurriel obviously has been pretty special for the last 8 games or beyond that. But yeah, I don't know. That's less a specific moment, but even just this sweep of the Yankees, I think will, should they make the playoffs, will sort of go down in Blue Jays lore. Absolutely.
I don't think this will go down in Blue Jays lore, but the game I might find myself thinking about the most, with the exception of the, the big Oakland Friday game, that's clearly kind of the cherry on top of all this, but is that game against the Yankees with the Gerrit Cole, Steven Matz matchup. Because that felt like sort of a sledgehammer that was coming to destroy their momentum and sort of limit the ceiling of what they were capable of doing against the Yankees. Like, if you sort of quasi know you're going to lose one of those games, it's almost like you're hoping for a split almost at that point. Maybe not hoping, but you think that that's sort of the type of thing that's on the table. And the fact that
it did not feel like a sweep was on the table.
Yeah, exactly. And
until that moment. Yeah.
And then, you know, Cole goes out early and he's hurt himself. It doesn't look like it's a serious injury, but then there's a kind of that moment of, oh, Robbie Ray's got the Cy Young now, and like the Blue Jays pounded Cole and they managed to get through with Matz, and you know, Matz continued this stretch that he's been on. And for me, that moment is that game is a mini turning point in all this. Like, I don't know where all this goes, but it's a type of thing that could easily not really become lore, not really become something that people talk about deep in the future, but that game feels very significant to all of this. Just keeping the streak going. And Matz himself, like, he's someone that we you know, we were talking about as a pretty disposable fifth starter not long ago. And the run he's been on has been really, really good. You know, he hasn't really been striking a ton of guys out either. Like, he's just been pitching really well, commanding really well, jamming right-handed hitters, which is a great strategy against the Yankees. Those guys with the big arms, you don't let them extend it. A lot of ground balls. Yeah. And he's someone who's now, you know, you're starting to talk about what's the future with Steven Matz. Like, I don't think anyone really thought of him as anything more than, oh, this is a one-year fill for fifth starter, fairly cheap, a little bit of upside. And now he's been, you mentioned, he's been basically Ryu from a production standpoint, like a little bit better on a per-inning basis. And now he's the type of guy where you're thinking, like, you know, what does a contract for Matz look like? Is that something the Blue Jays should pursue? I think a lot of Blue Jays fans would be happy to see Steven Matz come back in 2022, which is a bit wild considering the wilderness he was wandering around in kind of May and June.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, this is sort of the more rational side of the front office's coin, I think, probably, where, you know, maybe you do look at Matz and say, you know, we love you, Robbie Ray, but instead of paying you $118 million, a rotation that's, you know, Manoah, Berríos, Ryu, Stripling, Matz, that's still a pretty good rotation, especially if, you know, maybe Nate Pearson can work his way into it next year. And you add someone at the trade deadline, maybe that's, you know, maybe that's a way to preserve some flexibility that they will look into. And Jesus, you're almost at the point of wondering about the qualifying offer with Steven Matz, which is crazy. And I will say that we did, and I've been guilty of it too, and, you know, so justifiably so, I think, earlier in the season, but as the season has progressed, it's looked better. But there have definitely been, I remember somebody, I wish I could remember who it was in particular, on Twitter being like, well, asking this very question, like, what about keeping Steven Matz? They should probably do that, and was well ahead of the curve on that. So kudos to you, whoever you are, if you were listening. But yeah, that has become a very interesting question. And it's just, it's nice that they have options. They also, I mean, this is going on a bit of a tangent, but they also kind of, like, I don't know, if you're Noah Syndergaard, if you're a guy looking to rebuild value, if you're a pitcher in particular looking to I don't know, a year under Pete Walker might not be the worst idea for your bank account, right? So the Jays may have some natural advantages there, especially as they're, you know, they're poised to be a very good team again next year. Though again, as last week, it's, you know, we'll have a lot of time to talk about the off season and what 2022 will look like. But yeah, no, you're right with Matz. It's been pretty special. It's been great. I keep saying that, but these are the kind of moments you kind of want to just savor and not get too down about, because it could go sideways, and it could, you know, they could play 500 for the next couple of weeks and make it real tricky on themselves. But that would just underline, you know, the incredible value that this streak has provided to their season, because they would still probably be in position to claim a playoff spot anyway if they did that, which is a great spot to be in.
Yeah, something that I wrote, I did a piece at Yahoo Sports kind of about the significance of this stretch and all that stuff that came out today. And one part of it that I think is crucial is that now they're in a position where every loss doesn't feel like a death blow. Like it used to be before, it's like, oh, they had another loss. Like, they really can't afford to be dropping games. And I'm not saying they're in a position where they can quote unquote afford to be dropping games, especially against shitty competition like the Orioles or Twins or whatever. But we're also at a point where if the Blue Jays, yeah, just have a stinker and they drop a 2-run lead to the Orioles in the ninth inning and lose, it's not sort of a, okay, let's dust off the end of the season columns. Like, even though they can come down from where they are, and they're by no means a lock to sort of proceed from this position, they can weather some setbacks now. And they were in a position where there really was no room for setbacks before.
Yeah, no, that's completely true. And also, you know, if they lose, you know, between now and the end of the season, I'm not saying they will.
You never know.
They'll necessarily, but it is possible. But if that should happen, you know, we're at the point where you can look over and see what the Yankees did, what the Red Sox did, what they've done on previous days, and, you know, maybe not worry about it quite as much, because yeah, it's gonna only be a game in the standings, and the hard work of catching up to them has basically been done. I mean, they're not quite there yet, but it's, you know, they're at a stage, obviously, where it's all so tight that a couple games and it could flip the lead real, you know, literally, which is, you know, what we all anticipate will happen, which is probably foolish, but nonetheless, yeah, it's they're there. It does not feel as like nearly the mountain to climb, because especially after, you know, spending so many months of the season with a similar size mountain to climb, and not being able to do it at all. So for that to have just sort of instantly been bulldozed is, you know, once again, real nice.
We're at a point, and this is this is valid, by the way. Like, I'm not making fun of these people, and I'm one of these people. I think I brought it up in my piece too. We're at a point where people are talking about the fact that the Yankees and Red Sox have a series against each other, and therefore one of them must have a stretch of 1-2 or worse, and how that will help the Blue Jays. That is so micro. Like, the fact that we can, like, zero in on something that small and it feels relevant is wild. Like, imagine a week ago being like, well, the Yankees are going to face the Red Sox, so that's probably one game in there somewhere. Like, that's the sort of thing that was literally unfathomable a week ago, and now we're at that point where, like, yeah, it is so small. It's such a balance right now that it's very easy for it to go in any direction. And anything that feels like a little bit of an edge for the Blue Jays is worth thinking about, because it's going to come down to the very end, probably. It's going to come down to the wire. And that series against the Yankees at near the very end of the season is definitely one to circle on the calendar, because there's a chance that's where it's all decided.
Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking is, as you were talking about the Yankees and Red Sox, you know, beating up on each other in such a micro way. It's like I feel that there's a very small chance that those three games against the Yankees are you know, things will be done and dusted by that point, as well as things are going right now. Obviously, you know, every day is a new day, and who knows where it will go. And I think that, yeah, those three games, I'm definitely circling them. It would be great if they are incredibly meaningful. But I, you know, I don't think anyone should kid themselves and think like, you know, that it's impossible that they'll go into that, and be like, okay, if they get swept, then that's it. You know, that could be that point, and that could still happen. And the Yankees could still, you know, they're going to get out of their hitting funk. Like, they've done it already this season, and, they looked real good for many stretches. Obviously the injuries are catching up to them, and you know, it's not a great place for them to be, but those games will still have, I think, a ton of importance. Finishing against Baltimore is good too, but that also has a, you know, a trap series vibe to it. So the work is not done yet. But yeah, like I say, you just got to savor the fact that, my God, how are we here? It makes no sense, except it kind of does. And, just feels good.
The Yankees series, like, what are the chances they're going to be four games up on the Yankees by the time that series comes around? Like, doesn't seem likely to me.
Not high.
So, yeah, that's one where it could kind of have that it all comes down to this type of feeling, which is pretty cool. One other thing, you know, while we're just, I think this is just kind of a rolling through vibes episode. That's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine. It's an unusual circumstance, and it calls for an unusual episode with no structure whatsoever. So I hope you guys are enjoying that. But one thing that has been a little bit delicious about all of this has been sort of the discourse of the assumption of a Yankees-Red Sox wild card, and then the sort of national fawning that has gone into that, and how the Toronto Blue Jays might be able to disrupt the, you know, the national thirst, and by national I mean the U.S. the national baseball establishment thirst for a Red Sox Yankees game, which, you know, both teams you don't like to see, and they tend to go forever. I don't know, not exactly what I would describe as a best case scenario, but it is going to be fun to potentially see people disappointed, people who don't have great takes on what's fun.
I agree. I mean, and this is the game we're playing, right? I mean, there's only one fan base that's not going to be disappointed, ultimately. I mean, we are, as exciting as this is, you know, the high likelihood is that there will be heartbreak still ahead, and that's okay. That's real fun, and you know, especially though, Yankee and Red Sox heartbreak is really where we all, I think, are at. And to have given them that this week and to watch the team in turmoil and to watch the, you know, just the meltdowns on Twitter, I can't pretend I didn't enjoy the hell out of it. And also, I mean, the Red Sox, come on, really? I know that everybody's on the COVID list or whatever, but never really rated them to begin with, frankly.
No, unsurprisingly, never been a huge Red Sox fan as someone who grew up in Toronto, lived the vast majority of my life here.
I don't think they're that good either, roster-wise. We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And you're right. It's just, man, it's so nice to not have every loss, you know, feel like that's it's a dagger, and also have to then watch, you know, 60 people on Twitter be like, well, that's it. It's done. I'm thinking back to, I mean, you know, Pat Tabler, you know, broken clock, right twice a day. I just remember him saying a couple weeks back or, you know, before this really all started, you know, oh, you just want to, you got, you know, looking at them being six back or whatever, it's like, oh, you just got to make up about a game a week, you know, and then they go make up like five over the course of a week. It really,
you just got to go sweep the Yankees at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah. I mean, and then if they just keep sweeping everybody, yeah, I think they will make the playoffs. I think that would be my
goal. If they go 23-0, it seems unlikely that, well, then that Yankees Red Sox is really going to come into play because someone's going to have to lose then and they're not going to win out. And then the Blue Jays make the playoffs. That's math.
That is math.
And one of the better applications of it, I would say. someone who's not totally unfamiliar with math, that's one of the better applications. Okay, weekend series, briefly teeing it up. It's Baltimore. They are bad. Blue Jays are both expected to win the games and likely to win the games. Somehow they avoid John Means, who's kind of like the only pitcher you would want to avoid, although he hasn't really been as good of late anyway.
Since perhaps the sticky stuff crackdown.
Yeah, there's a correlation between the sticky stuff's crackdown and John Means' effectiveness. There's a doubleheader on Saturday. I think the Blue Jays are very well suited for doubleheaders because they tend to like to push their starter kind of maybe through six innings, and they're not as exposing the bullpen as much, although nowadays the bullpen's stronger, so maybe that's less of an effect. I was looking through the Orioles roster for something interesting. Not really. Cedric Mullins is still really good. They have a couple guys who can hit. Mm-hmm. Not an exciting bullpen. Their closer is a Rule 5 guy. And Connor Green is an old friend alert, I guess. That's sort of the closest thing we've got. He's, you know, he helped the Blue Jays acquire Randall Grichuk. So that's something. That's...
Thanks, Connor.
Yeah, he did it. Yeah, there's just really, I mean, we joke, but like there's really nothing there. Like the Orioles are a punching bag, and are you going to connect on your punch or are you going to miss your punch? That's up to you. It's not really what the Orioles did in a sense. It's more, can you execute and, you know, succeed at not even that high a level, at a fairly high level, and you can get some wins. And the Blue Jays look like a team that's executing on a fairly high level right now.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be nice to come out here on Friday, win a damn game. I feel they're capable. Just to sort of, you know, I fully expect almost. I expect them to lose one of these four games. Maybe that's incorrect. I also expect them to run the table from here. So some conflicting emotions. But, you know, that's just the way baseball works. It's been really fun to watch them put this streak together. But, you know, it is unusual. And it's hard to do because, you know, just that's the ball leaves your hand. And sometimes, you don't know what's going to happen after that. You can't control every little aspect of it. And so you swing the bat and maybe it goes a couple inches foul. Maybe it doesn't. So, you know, that's entirely possible. And I just think it would be a bit deflating for it to happen right off the hop. You know, I think that they would be much better if they won, in addition to all four of them, at least the first couple. Because, you know, that's sort of where, you know, more realistically people's heads should be at. It's like, you know, we're now back at the point where it's like, just win every series and you'll probably be fine.
Yeah, I mean, like I was looking at the game-by-game odds FanGraphs does. And I think the Blue Jays, they gave sort of a, I think it was a 66% chance to win this game. that's about as high as you ever get for a road game. Yeah. Like, even if they're home, maybe they could have got to 70. I don't know. But like the way baseball works, it's very hard to get higher than that. So if you accept that as approximately what the Blue Jays, and maybe you want to give the Blue Jays a little bonus point, bring them up to 70. Hell, bring them up to 75. Even getting something that's 75% of the time to happen four times in a row, is not easy. It's not something you can count on. So if the Blue Jays lose one in the series, that is not a big deal at all. If they lose two, that's a big missed opportunity, but probably ultimately not a disaster. Losing this series would be painful. That would be a problem. If you straight up lose this series, that is a real gut punch to everything that was happening with the Blue Jays. Almost regardless of what happens with the Red Sox and the Yankees, even if they lose as well, that would be a big opportunity lost. And I think it's unlikely. So I wouldn't spend too much dwelling on it.
You know what? I would have thought that was unlikely in, you know, against the Angels and Mariners, and when they, you know, they came off that great homestand, right?
Yeah, but at least that was a West Coast trip, and also just the Orioles are in a different tier from when it comes to hopelessness. Anyway, let's leave it there. The last word of a Blue Jays happy hour should always be hopelessness. Very good thematic end conclusion there. We appreciate you guys listening in. Again, we shout out to anyone who is new and anyone who is starting to embrace the Blue Jays, maybe for the first time and maybe for the first time in a long time. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will be with you again next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.